Here we are, living the good life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And I'll tell you what, if you were just listening to the McKays doing this when your itch is stronger than your thirst, brother, that was some mighty anointed word from God, and it was straight from the throne of God. And, you know, it's all about where our desires are and how much we want to draw close to God or how much we want to just do our own thing. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, and this is Living the Good Life. And we are very excited to be with you live on the air right now, as we always are on Sunday afternoon at this very time, 3 o'clock Eastern. And we are going to have an amazing couple hours in the Word and chat and great music. We got a lot of great music in store for you today. The whole goal is to do exactly like they were just preaching, and that is to develop the thirst for God within each of us instead of just satisfying those fleshly desires that can sometimes get us into trouble and get us distracted away from the things of God. And we don't want to be that way. We want to just absolutely be all that God wants us to be. And with that said, I welcome two of our radio team right here as they are getting set up, headphones plugged in, ready to go. Dr. Angel Falzoni, are you there?
I am here, and good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you. And I tell you, those people, they are just wild.
I know.
Dr. Rebecca and Bishop George, I mean, really amazing. I just love to hear them and love to hear the truths that come from their mouths on Truth Talk. That's the name of their show. It starts at 2:30 right before we do. So, you know, when you're tuning in to Living the Good Life, just tune in a few minutes earlier and catch all the wisdom and the anointing that comes from these two wonderful servants of the Lord. We love them so very much. And it is a joy to be right here with you. And Nan's getting herself all set up and hooked up.
I'm set up.
You're set up?
One more plug in and I'm good.
You look like you're living in the frozen tundra.
I feel like I'm living in the frozen
because
tundra.
I can tell you have a heavy sweatshirt on and you have a coat that looks like it belongs in the state of Maine on right now.
Well, luckily I found the coat in my car. I know you can't imagine that. I left it in my car.
I cannot imagine that.
And the sweater, I needed it to be out in the wind.
So. Yes, that's right. So we're having some frozen, awfully cold snow and ice and sleet weather here in Clearwater.
Let's not get...
wait a minute. That's not quite true, is it, Dr.
No.
Angel?
Not exactly.
Not exactly. No, it's not exactly that way. In fact, you know, I was complaining to one of my kids last night that it had gotten down to 50, you know. And, of course, a couple of them are up in Indiana where it is literally had been very, very cold. The church I used to pastor was in Indiana, so we have many of our people listening from that church. And we're sorry you guys are going through such amazing, awful weather up there, because we're not. That doesn't sound right, does it?
But they know what you meant.
Yeah.
It came from your heart.
My heart was saying, I'm so glad I live in sunny sunshine state versus living in the frozen tundra. That's what my heart was saying. But you know what? When we're talking spiritually here, God wants to warm us up today, guys. And if you live in a cold place around the globe, God is saying you can live in cold weather and still be very, very warm. You can be hot for God. You can be on fire for God. And many years ago when I was preaching in Tegucigalpa, Honduras, one Sunday morning, the Lord showed me a fire spreading, a revival fires coming. And I still believe that that is going to be happening and that more and more people are going to find Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior in these difficult days that we are living in worldwide. Jesus is coming back, and we want to just completely agree with that because it's so true. He will be back someday. And that's all. Ooh, that's really good. That's really good. I'm excited about that. That will preach, won't it, Dr. Angel?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So we started a series a couple weeks ago, and it's called Rest in Peace. And it has nothing to do with you dying, although it has everything to do with you dying. You say, what does that mean? Dying to what we want to do all the time and living to be all that he wants us to be. And there is no greater joy than when you begin to realize, as our dear friends were just preaching a few moments ago, what is the strongest thing? Is it your desires, that itch that they were just talking about? Is it doing your own thing? Is that the most important thing to you? Or is the thirst for God, is the itch stronger than the thirst? Boy, I wrote that down. That's going to preach someday here.
Yes, it will.
It will. It's going to preach right now, I guess. So because the thirst for God is the most important thing that we need to be doing. And that's what this show is all about. And we have been doing this for 11 and a half years every Sunday afternoon because we want to, because we want to spread the good news of the gospel, because we want people to realize that they need to ask God to really move in their lives and develop a thirst for God. Talk to us, Dr. Angel. So glad you're here.
Oh, it's always good to be here. And yeah, I mean, I think a lot of times we go for that temporal thing that we think is going to satisfy us, you know, relieve the itch. And really what we are is extremely thirsty for the wellspring of God.
We are. And a lot of times, don't you think we don't even realize what it is that's wrong with us?
Oh, most of the time we probably don't realize what's wrong with us.
So often I think that we get depressed, we get discouraged, we don't know what to do. And we don't even think that it might have something to do with our need for a deeper relationship with the Lord in our lives. So often we think it's external things, you know, that, oh, well, you know, it's just a time of year. I just got through the holidays. The holidays always depress me, or I don't have this or I don't have that. And what God wants us to do is say, you need more of me, is what God is saying to us, right? Talk to me, Dr. Angel.
He is definitely saying that. And, you know, the only way we can get more is if we seek to have more and we put the time and the energy and the
That's
effort
right.
and the priority of it.
Exactly. That's why we put on Facebook every week, not only a post during the week, but we usually, which I did a little while ago, invite people to join the show because we want them to hear the truth of God's word. And we want to celebrate his presence in our lives. Dear Lord, we thank you for this opportunity today. We come to you, Lord, boldly and humbly. Boldly because we want to give out your word in a profound way today that will bless your children around the globe. And humbly because we know, Lord, it's all you. It's not us. We're just your vessels. We're here because we want to be here. We're here because we have a passion to teach and preach the word of God. And so, Lord, we do that today with joy. We're excited and we're going to sing and play music about your wonderful presence in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for what you're about to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Sing, Chris Tomlin. Love it.
You hear us when we shout your praise. Lift high. about you. Heaven and earth adore you. Kings and kingdoms bow down. Son of God, you are the one. You are the one we're living for. Sing, 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 and make music with the heavens we were. Sing, 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 grateful that you hear us when we shout your praise. Lift high the name of Jesus. Sing, sing, sing.
All right. Sing, sing, sing. It's all about Jesus, his presence in our lives. Nan, you got your computer up in front of you, and I saw you typing away. That means God must have given you a poem during that song. These are not pre-done. These are hot off the boilerplate of the Holy Spirit.
Yes. And it's entitled Sing, Sing, Sing.
Of course.
Of course. Sing out your praises to me. You will find that you're set free. I will inhabit the praises offered to me. You will find that you're set free. Look to me with all of your needs. I will supply what you need. Indeed, I love you with all of my heart. So of this singing, will you start? Sing to me from deep within. Go ahead, try it. Sing, sing, sing.
I like that. You know, that's an admonition for all of us to sing the praises of God. And you know, there's a lot of people, and maybe some listening today, who have never really done that, that's not a part of their life where they are singing praises to God, and they know how to enter his presence and to praise him and spend time with him. And we know from so many scriptures that praise breaks through all kinds of stuff going on in our lives. When we're down, discouraged, when we're having a rough time, whatever it might be, praising God gets us out of the doldrums, so to speak. I don't know even how to spell that. Out of depression, out of anxiety. This whole series is about learning to rest in his peace. And a lot of it comes from learning how to praise God and give him thanks. Talk to us, Nan, about all that.
I can tell a difference in my spiritual walk when I'm praising him in song versus not.
Really?
I can sense the difference. I can tell the difference within myself. Not that anyone would look at me and say, oh, this is how you're feeling, because people don't know how you feel unless you tell them in most cases.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, we're admonished to sing, sing, sing,
yes,
like that
we
song
are.
Said. And you know, and even as the poem said, and we all know, he inhabits the praise of his people.
Well,
more things are done in our lives. In our spiritual lives, in our physical lives, by us singing than it does when we don't.
Well, absolutely. And I'm going to say that for a lot of people that maybe this is new to sing praises to God, singing and music is a vital part of our culture and probably every culture around the planet. Right, Dr. Angel? You want to talk about that and how that
I
relates?
Would go on a gander. Absolutely.
You're going to go on a gander?
Singing is really popular. Just watch the Grammys coming up. I mean, singing has been
absolutely
a very important part.
And yes.
All the way back down to the early monks who used to memorize scripture by putting it with music. And, it, you know, it helps our brain to
yes
remember it
right
when it's with a tune. And but, you know, what we're doing is we're confessing positive words. We're confessing
we are
who our God is and who his strength is and who we are in him and all. That's what we're confessing when we're praising.
When we're praising
instead
God.
Instead of confessing the negativity and the bad feelings and the depression and the woe is me, we are confessing about who God is.
Exactly. And, you know, there's so many songs out there. I mean, countless millions and gazillion songs across this planet. And a lot of them have to do with heartache.
Oh, yeah.
You know, especially a lot of country music, right? A lot of it has to do with heartache and D-I-V-O-R-C-E or something like that, where we've gone through, somebody's gone through a lot of pain, and they're talking about their pain, and they do it in the form of a song, right?
Well, yes, I'd like to share a story.
All right, please share a story, Nan.
I've watched the old program Love Boat from time to time.
Love Boat. That cracks me up. You know that, right? Because it's probably 55 years old. But
something like that. But they had, what came to mind is they had one of the stories they had on it, I watched it a couple weeks ago, was this country singer who fell in love with a girl on the
thing. Of course he did, because he was on the Love Boat.
He was on the Love Boat.
All right.
And his manager was there also.
Uh-huh.
And this guy wasn't producing songs like he felt he should be producing.
Ooh.
So he managed to finagle around,
yeah,
and get the woman to break up with him.
Oh.
And then what happened when that happened, he started having all kind of songs coming up because he was speaking about his broken heart.
Hearted.
And it had a happy ending, of course. But during that interim part, I mean, it was just... He was just so distraught about the whole situation that he shared it in poems. I mean, in songs. And he was writing some of his best songs while dealing with the pain of what
he
was feeling.
Okay, great example. And I venture to say that a lot of times reality happens when people write songs, that they are about what's going on in their lives a lot of times. Some of the greatest Christian music out there has resulted from a painful time or a time where somebody really had a clear understanding of who God was for them. And music itself, I mean, if God had not wanted us to sing and make music on instruments and all that, he would never have given us that ability, right? I mean, everybody can sing, whether they sing badly or sing good. They can sing. They can articulate notes, right, out of their inner being somewhere. And the scripture is full. David was a musician. And David, who wrote the book of Psalms, talked a lot about singing praises to God. The whole book is full of, you need to sing praise. You need to do this because this is what is going to change your life. And because this series is entitled Rest in Peace, we need to learn to rest and really walk in the peace of God. And one way we do that is we learn to magnify something bigger than our problems. We all magnify things. Would we all agree with that? We all magnify stuff. I'm going to go to you, Dr. Angel, the licensed clinical psychologist, PhD, no, LCSW.
Mental health counselor.
Why did I get that wrong? I say it all the time on our Thursday night show. Licensed mental health counselor and PhD. Because don't we magnify things? That's a very important point I want to make right here.
We do, and we do magnify it. We magnify it by the words, using words to talk about it all the time. We magnify it by thinking about it all the time. You know, it kind of consumes us at times.
Right.
And not that there's not value in talking about it. There is. But there's also value in, way more value in singing the praises of our God, who's going to carry us through it and get us through and be
Absolutely.
Our strength and be our, you know, our banner and our tower and all those things that he is for us.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. And when we are magnifying how great God is, it gets our attention off of what our mess is. Right.
Well, it's not that it gets our attention off of our mess. It kind of puts it back in a perspective of where our mess fits in next to our God.
Yes. I am just reminded of Psalm 8, which was written by David, and verse 1, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The name of Jesus is the most majestic name, is the most important name in the whole universe, because it means Jehovah is our salvation, because that's who he is. You have set your glory above the heavens, and here, verse 2 of Psalm 8, from the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. And you know what? That goes right along with what we're going to talk about today. So thank you, God, for taking us to Psalm 8. Because as we begin to praise God, the devil's influence over our mind and our situations lessens, because the devil hates it when you praise God, right? Would you comment on that, Nan, that we got now we got your chair fixed? I was watching you from the control room in here, and I just saw you go way down fast because you pushed the wrong button on your chair in the studio, and down you went. But now you're back up in front of your mic.
I'm back up in front of
it. It was funny to watch.
Thank you for sharing.
You're welcome. It was funny.
Just lost my train of thought.
Yes.
What did you say right before that?
I said that the devil, when we praise God and we magnify God and for who he is and the strength that he is, the devil doesn't like that because he wants to be the strong man, quote unquote, in our hearts and our lives. The devil wants to continually bring chaos, and he doesn't like it when he's not bringing chaos.
Well, you know, we were earlier in church, you know, we did the song Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Which was originally, I think, done maybe by... I know that
the Imperials were one of them, yeah.
And I can remember one time I had left to go to work. I lived in Clearwater working in Tampa. I got to cross the causeway every day, which was actually a nice little ride there. And I was so distraught about what was happening in my office, I just stopped. I pulled over at the beach, where the beach was, got out of my car, and I was crying. I said, God, I need help. I don't want to go there. There's stuff happening. It's too much for me. And I began playing that song. I pulled it up on my phone, playing that song, singing that song out there by the beach.
Wow.
But, you know, he moved, and it moved in me to deal with the situation because I took the time to praise him.
Exactly.
I mean, maybe it's kind of silly to stop at the beach at
6:45
in the morning.
No, it's not silly. It's wonderful.
It was that's what I needed to do to make it through my day. And because of that praise, I made it through my day. I felt You feel changed.
You feel
charged up. You feel charged up when you do that.
You know, so many people don't understand the value of praise and how important it is to magnify or praise God above our situation or our circumstances. Because what we're saying is, God, I acknowledge that you are the sovereign of the universe, that you created us and that you love us and that you knew me in my mother's womb. And I acknowledge all that. And so, God, I trust you to deal with my problems right now. I give them to you like you did that day. Dr. Angel, talk to us.
Well, you know, it all kind of goes along with that feeding and starving principle. You know, what we feed grows, what we starve dies. And so when we are feeding the negativity of what's going on around us and giving it life and talking and thinking about it constantly, we're feeding that.
Yes.
And when we're feeding the word of God and his praises, we're feeding that. And so that's what we need to be feeding.
So when we are so obsessed with our own pain and our own depression or whatever it might be in our lives, maybe physical pain, maybe a bad physical diagnosis, maybe marriage trouble, maybe all kinds of things it could be. When that is all we are obsessing on, thinking about, we are just consumed by it. We tell everybody we know how bad it is. You know, listen to what he did now or she did now or whatever the case may be. When we are, that's magnifying. When we are magnifying the problem, I don't know who this is for today, but this isn't what I planned on talking about at the top of the show. But that happens all the time, doesn't it, Nan? We just let the Holy Spirit lead, right?
Yes, we do.
But if you are one of those that are magnifying the problems, magnifying the pain, whatever the case may be, it's time to get it in proper perspective because either God is greater than any problem you have or he's not. Which is it? And 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he, Jesus, God, in me than he that is in the world. God is greater than any problem you have. Remember those little cards my dad passed out all his life, and I still have quite a few. And it is a little thing, and on the back it says 1 John 4:4, God is greater. But on the front it says, God is greater than any problem I have. Talk to us, Dr. Angel. Love it. He is greater.
First of all, yes, he's absolutely greater. And I think that sometimes we lose that sight and we lose that perspective. And that's where praising is putting it right back. It's using our ears. It's using our mouth. It's using so many of our senses. And we're consuming ourselves with God in those moments that we're entering into praise.
Yes. Yes. Woo. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. Good friend. I'm in the Message Bible so we can understand it easier. Don't forget all I've taught you. Okay? Take to heart my commands. This is through the pen of Solomon. They'll help you live a long, long life, a long life lived full and well. Don't lose your grip on love and loyalty, faithfulness. Tie them around your neck and carve their initials on your heart. Earn a reputation for living well in God's eyes and the eyes of the people. But now we're getting to verse 3. No, 5, I'm sorry. One of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. Trust God, Proverbs 3:5. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Now, that is so vitally important to us. Let me read the rest of that verse, and then we're going to talk about it. Listen for God's voice in everything you do and everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. Run to God. Run from evil. So we're talking about resting, learning how to rest in peace. When we are running to God, we're running from something, right? If you're running down the beach, you are running towards wherever your little landmark is. You're going to turn around and run back or whatever. But you're running towards something, right? Mm-hmm. And what's behind you, where you came from, okay? And you've left it behind, and now you're going to turn around. Sometimes we turn around, we're running the beach, and we go back to where we were. Sometimes in life, we are running in the direction that God has for us, and we are really listening to his voice and trying to be everything he wants us to be. And then sometimes we turn around and just go back the opposite way. Why, Nan? Why do we do that? We are creatures of habit. We do it.
I think sometimes people do it because of fear.
Okay.
Fearful of the unknown.
All right.
You know, and when God leads us to do things or go places, you know, we don't necessarily always understand why. I know he's taken me some interesting places that I know you know about, that I've shared the stories when it would happen.
Yeah.
It wasn't logical.
Right.
But it was God.
It was God.
It was God, you know.
And so often we have to renew our minds, sometimes moment by moment, because we get stuck mm-hmm. in ruts, and we tend to gravitate towards the side of things that are not good for us, but that are still, they're still there tempting us, whatever those may be, which is why I love their topic. Dr. McKay, Bishop George today, you know, when the itch to do the wrong thing is stronger than the thirst for God, when your itch mm-hmm. is stronger than your thirst. Talk to us, Dr. Angel.
Well, you know, and that's just it. I think what happens is we lose our perspective. We lose our sight so easily. We get distracted by the things around us or the things we're going through, and they seem to be screaming so loudly and taking our attention that it takes a lot of energy and a lot of will, human will, to say, you know what? I am going to put my focus on what does God's word say about this?
Yes.
What is his promises say about this? And it really does. When you're feeling really beat down by what you're going through, it almost can seem like real work to get yourself and say, nope, I am not going to keep letting all this tell me who I am or what's going to happen in my life. I'm going to get it from the source.
You know what? You are exactly right. And is it hard? Yeah, it is. Because it means that you're putting your stake in the ground and you're saying, all right, I'm not listening to all this, or I'm not going to be led down a path of evil, or I'm not going to hang around with people who drag me down and bring me down and who are not godly people. I want to thrive, not just survive, which is a perfect segue into this song that I feel we're supposed to do right now by Casting Crowns. It's entitled, of course it is, Thrive.
Where many a dream has died, like a tree planted by the water, we never will run dry. So living water flowing through, God, we thirst for more of you. Fill our hearts and flood our souls with one desire,
just to know. Father's heart. Into the world we're reaching out to show them who you are. So living water flowing through, God, we thirst for more of you. Fill our hearts and flood our souls with one desire, just to
grab you. We were made for so much more than just ordinary lives. We were made to thrive. Whoa. Man, you got a poem during that song too, didn't you? That's a mighty song. That's an admonition to us all, every one of us. Woo!
Yes. It says, you can strive, you can thrive with me in your heart. Go ahead, try it. Just start. Praise me with all that's within you. You can thrive. This statement is true. Spend time in the wonderful word you have. You will learn so much more and can thrive. You were made to thrive in me. What will you do? What will it be?
I love that.
It's interesting. In the first, I'm looking here at the first poem he inspired about singing. And he posed the question in that poem about, so of the singing, will you start? Now, here on the second one, talking about thriving, he's asking, what will you do? What will it be?
And questions.
It's like questions to the listeners of,
right,
what is your decision? You're learning today. You can learn a lot today, but what is happening, the listeners are able to learn. And that's one of the things I think that he's posing to them as questions to say, will you do this now?
Because, you know, I agree with you entirely. And so many people just go through life living an ordinary life. you know. But God wants his children to recognize that we are to thrive in the things of God. We are to love the word of God. We are to read it. We are to get it down on the inside of us. We are to change our old habits and become more what he wants us to be. We are to thrive, because in thriving, then we learn to be at peace and be at rest. Because when we are really following God's plan and purpose for our lives, his plan and purpose does not include just putting your head in with covers over your head and staying in bed and not taking action. Talk to us, Dr. Angel.
Well, that's true, and we may feel that way.
Yeah.
We may get so overwhelmed by everything going around like us, we feel it, and that's where that fighting that moment of what you're feeling. Are you going to solve that itch?
Right.
That's that itch, that moment itch, when you're going through a whole lot of stuff. And in that moment, you just want to duck and cover and hide and
feel sorry for yourself.
Or just get away and be alone.
Yeah.
And no, you got, that's where we have to dig deeper. And I don't feel like it. I don't want to do this right now. I don't have the energy, but I can't afford not to.
There's so many times where we have to learn to exercise discipline in our lives instead of escaping into, and there's nothing wrong with movies, TV, all that kind of stuff. But sometimes we use things as an escape so we don't have to really work on thriving in God and becoming all he wants for us. You know, it takes a decisive decision to get your Bible out and say, I'm going to read this and I'm going to let God speak to me today. I don't want to just be the same way I've always been. I want to take decisive action to thrive. Angel?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's something, my favorite words, purposeful there and intense.
That's right.
But it is. You have to be purposeful in that. Where was that quote that you used about, what was it, the itch? What was your quote again?
Oh, it's Dr. McKay's. But
what was her quote?
We don't want to, we want, when, what happens in our lives it to hurt us is when we let the itch be stronger than our thirst.
Absolutely. And so
right.
That itch is,
I don't
what,
think I got that exactly
no,
the way
okay.
She did, but that's the concept.
Yeah. Is my thirst stronger than the itch?
Yes.
And that's it. And you know, that itch is what you feel in that moment. That's the itch. You know, it's a moment. It's spontaneous. It's in right now. What's going on? What do I feel like will resolve right now? And is my thirst for the living God, the streams of living water, bigger than just dealing with the sadness or the craziness or the overwhelm I'm feeling right now?
Some people, and I totally agree with you, so many people get in trouble, get into bad relationships just because they would rather be with someone rather than no one. And when, in fact, being with God and really talking to him and learning his principles can be so gratifying, so fulfilling, so wonderful. Talk to us, Nan. Thriving, not surviving.
Someone comes to mind that I know that is like that, and they have to have someone in their life. They have to have someone in their life. They have someone in their life, you know. And praise God, I'm not that way.
Right.
I mean, it's great. It's nice to have someone in my life that way, but I don't have to.
Right.
I'm not in need of having to have that, and I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for that.
But so many people go down a path of self-indulgence. I think that's really what I want to say here, where they, whether it be feeling sorry for themselves, whether it be getting mixed up in relationships that are not good for them, whether it be spending a whole day in depression and anxiety and maybe just staying in bed the whole day, or eating their way out of their misery, or whatever the case may be. Dr. Angel, being a licensed mental health counselor, I got it right that time, you understand this because, and patients that you've had and that you see, so often we are so self-absorbed and so wanting to make the pain go away, the itch go away, whatever it is, that we don't even realize it's connected to our thirst for God.
We don't make that connection. And so what we're doing is reaching and grabbing for straws, basically anything that we believe will give us temporary relief instead of going down to the wellspring that has the true relief.
Yes. And that's why we do this show every single week, is because our goal is to get the word of God out across the airwaves worldwide and to talk about what God can do to change your life. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 17 And we're going to go to verse 7 here. I'm in the Message Bible again. And it says, blessed is the man who trusts me, God. This is God talking. The woman who sticks with God. We're going to be blessed if we really trust God, whether and where we hang out with him and stick with him. You know, they're like trees replanted in Eden, the Garden of Eden, putting down roots near the rivers. Never worry through the hottest of summers, never dropping a leaf, serene and calm through droughts. There's that whole concept of being at peace and rest, bearing fresh fruit every season. These are people that hang out with God, man. People that hang out with God and learn to trust him in our lives. These are the people that learn how to find that peace and that calm in the midst of the hottest summer, in the midst of the biggest problem, in the midst of drought, whatever that may be, lack, famine, whatever it might be. Those who stick around and hang out with Almighty God, says it in Psalm 91, that those who dwell in the shelter of the Most High shall abide in the presence of Almighty God. When we hang out with God, and that verse in Psalm 91 is talking about just sitting down, resting in him, you know, just hanging out with him. Talk to us, Nan.
Well, you know, in our earthly life, the life that we all live, there are people that we like to hang out with.
Right.
I love hanging out with you because you're such a positive role model in my life.
Well, thank you, Nate.
Yeah, well, you're welcome. And you're so wise. I love hanging out with Angel. She just brings so much humor. Yeah, humor.
She's
sometimes.
Crazy.
You know,
she's crazy.
But even like as much as I love hanging out with you guys, and you're both great women in my life. You're great, strong women in my life. I so much more love hanging out with God, mm-hmm. just hanging out with our Heavenly Father. And that's the way that he's speaking, and that's what he's wanting us to do. Just hang out with me.
Right.
You know, I mean, as much as I love hanging out with you guys, we all should love hanging out with him better than anybody else in our life.
We should
be able to do that. Over anybody else in my life, he is number one. In fact, I was saying something to someone who's in my life, and I said, well, you've got to understand, God is number one in my life, period. Period.
You know what? Some people listening to that right now will think you're a fanatic, Nan.
Well, they can think what they want to think.
But you know what? That's where we need to get. Because when we put him first, the mm-hmm. Ten Commandments, commandment number one, you know, is thou shalt have no other gods before me.
Right.
Okay, we can so often put people, jobs, likability. How many likes did we get on that post on Facebook? We can put popularity. That's the word I'm looking mm-hmm. for. Things like that ahead of our relationship with God. Talk to me, Nan.
Well, and I mean, that's not to say that that's always been the case. You know, we go through times in our lives that, you know, that, and I went through times in my life that he wasn't number one in my life. There was other people, other things number one in my life. So I don't want the listeners to think, oh, you're so perfect. Because no. Lord knows I'm not. You know,
I can tell the listeners you're not.
Yeah, you know, you can tell. Thank you, great mentor.
I know.
She's good like that, right?
Yeah, she's good like that.
Just want to verify that.
Yeah, verify. But I mean, that's we just need to hang out with him.
You know, we need to be real, you know? Mm-hmm. And when Christians get in trouble, I think is when they put on a show and they're not who that person really is. That's not who they are. When they talk the talk but don't walk the walk, you know? People get frustrated with Christians and say that people are hypocritical when they don't see the basics of Christianity, which is love and joy and peace. I'm on a rant, aren't I, Dr. Angel?
Oh, you so are, but it is such a necessary one. You know, a few years ago I was driving by a church and on their marquee it said, it is better to be fake and happy than genuine and depressed.
Ooh.
Ouch.
Yeah,
that's kind of summing up what a lot of people in the church do, though.
Yes.
You know, when they're going through something difficult, instead of reaching towards that brother and sister in Christ who can agree with them in prayer and bring them to the throne, they slap on that fake happy face because That's what they feel they're supposed to do.
Okay, so what is that saying? That's saying they're diminishing the power of God in their life because they think it's better to be depressed and discouraged and sad sack than to say, I've got a problem, but I believe God can take care of this.
Absolutely.
And that's why I think a lot of people, I am on a rant today. Why I think a lot of people think that Christians are so hypocritical because we can say one thing, but do we do it? Are we full of love? Are we full of love for God, number one, in our lives? Do we definitely not put other gods before him? Do we do that? Because this is what God wants for us, and he wants us to have a defining moment. And I wasn't going to do this song, but we are. Defining Moment by New Song. And it talks about, you know, there were so many stories in the New Testament when Peter, John, and all these that walked with Jesus had defining moments. When at one point Peter said, oh, you are the Son of God. You, my King and my God, my Lord and my God. Peter understood right then. That moment was a defining moment. When John the Baptist said, here he comes, the Savior of the world, down here, and he's going to be baptized. And all of those things that we see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, if you're new to the Word of God, start reading the New Testament. It'll absolutely come alive to you. And we need those defining moments. Are we going to just have one in our lives? No, we're going to have many, 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 many defining moments where we turn corners, where we go closer. My GPS in my car, I believe, is usually accurate, but occasionally it's not. But every once in a while, as I'm going somewhere, it's going to point an arrow and turn right at the next street, you know, and it'll tell you the name of the street. And happened to me a couple of days ago. They gave me the name of the street, but there was no sign up. But the GPS showed me turning there. So even though I couldn't see that was the right, it did say to do it, and I trusted the GPS. We need to be trusting the leading of God in our lives and make those turns when we need to make those turns and make those changes in our lives where we need to make those changes so that we can have those defining moments. Nan, do you want to comment on that before we do this song?
I was just sitting there thinking as you were speaking, I can remember some defining moments in my life. And they're really special times.
Yeah.
They're really special times when you come to a new realization of something or
woo,
something hits you. Ooh, yeah, yeah.
There comes a time in every heart, a time of real decision, when we reach the point of choosing how we would live our lives. All our hopes, all our dreams will rise up from that moment, the moment we surrender and choose to follow Christ. He's been waiting all our lives to hear us say, I am yours, Lord, take my hand and lead the way. When you believe, he's all you need, that will be your defining. Set before me to take this love inside my heart for all the world to see. Oh, all of heaven celebrates when they hear someone say. Trust.
I like that old song. That song's been around for a while. But boy, it really spoke the words of what we've been talking about. Dr. Angel, talk to us. Life's defining moment.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I wrote that down. When I believe he is all I need, that will be my defining moment.
That's it, isn't it? We sang a song at church this morning, Lord, I Need You. And it's one of my favorite songs. And it's just talking about we can't do this on our own. You can't become the soldier for God. You can't become the person of love, peace, joy, all of that stuff, if you're not doing it in cooperation with God in your life. You need Him. Lord, I need You. Say that line again, Angel, if you will, and you want to comment on it.
When I believe He is all I need, that will be my defining moment. And that's it. And when we get there, the only way we get there is by praising Him and getting in His word and spending time with Him. Let's just think of relationships like on a human level. You don't build trust in a relationship if you're not spending time with that person.
That's right.
You know, trust happens when we spend time together and they show they're trustworthy. And that's the same thing with God. Trust happens with Him when I'm in His word and I see what His promises are and how He fulfills them time and time again. When I read, you know, those things, He will.
Know,
those are my favorite types. The wills, the alls. I love those words because, you know, it's the only thing that's just, God is the only thing absolute in this world. And so when we get that in there, we're building that trust with Him.
And you're exactly right. And I love that statement. God's the only thing that is absolute, because relationships fail. They walk away. People walk away from our lives. We have problems with relatives or friends or whatever the case may be. Jobs sometimes change. Your financial position can change. All kinds of things can change, but God will never change. It says in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. How wonderful to serve a God who doesn't change, who still loves you, Nan, regardless of how quirky you are, right?
Yes.
Did you want to comment any further on that?
Was I supposed to?
No, not necessarily.
Okay. I would like to read a poem, if I may.
You may.
It's entitled, What Will Your Decision Be? Do you want defining moments within you? I will help, precious one, you will make it through. Believe that I'm all you need within. What will it be? On this will you depend? You need to have defining moments in life. They will help you go through your strife. Walking in my life is what you're to do. So what will you do? It's entirely up to you. What is your decision?
Whoa.
You know, at the beginning of the show, you kind of said the direction of what the show was going on was a little bit different than anticipated. Is a good way to put that.
Yeah, well, it's difficult.
And you felt it was for particular people, person, people. You know, of the three poems that he's inspired, all of them are challenging people to accept what is being discussed here today.
Right, to accept it. And to realize that God wants a deep and meaningful relationship with you because He knows what's best for you. And because He knows you so completely, He's the only person in the universe that knows you better than you know yourself. I mean, He really does know you. Everything that makes you who you are, He knows all of that. So it's so important as we study this walking in peace that we understand that it starts with that I surrender all to God concept that our dear friend Betty sang this morning. I surrender all to Jesus, I surrender. You know, that's where it begins if you're really going to live in peace. Oh, boy, there's so much more to talk about. I can't believe an hour has already passed. Angel, did you have a comment here before we...
Wow. First of all, wow, an hour has passed. This has been amazing. And, you know, I think it's really hard for us to get this concept inside of us.
It is.
I think it is a growth. It's something that's part of our journey. It happens step by step by step. You know, as I learned to trust Him for this. And then the next thing comes up in my life. That's the next challenge and a deeper trust and a deeper trust. And I think that's our journey here.
It's our journey.
Getting to know Him.
And we just have to make that effort. Because when we do, there are huge, wonderful rewards for putting God first in our lives. We're going to talk more in our second hour about the how-tos of walking in peace. That's kind of what we're talking about, I guess. Nan, would you talk about our Facebook post that I try to do once a week? This week I did it on Wednesday morning, and we never know exactly when it is, Wednesday or Thursday, but it's out there on my Marsha McAllister posts or Beacon of Hope Ministries posts.
Well, it just gives great teaching that goes along with what we're doing on the radio show, what goes along with what we do at church. Just a different spin on it, you know, just more information. If they can catch you live, they can catch you live. If not, they can catch you afterwards. And it's a really uplifting, usually 14 to 17 minutes, something like that, I believe. And it's really encouraging. I mean, they can have something to encourage themselves in the middle of the week by listening to that.
Absolutely. So go to, there's a lot of Beacon of Hope Ministries, but we are the one who has a lighthouse that has a lot of colors in it. So Beacon of Hope Ministries, you can find the post there on Facebook, or you can go to my post, Marsha McAllister Posts. And important, why is it important? Angel, we've been talking about it, but why is it so important that we take advantage of things where we can hear the Word of God taught?
Well, that's how we grow our faith in Him and our trust in Him. That's about the relationship. And one of the things I love about the Facebook post is that it's real practical, and it's like the bow on where we're at, and you bring it back down and wrap it around and how I can use that today, how that makes sense right here, right now for my life.
That's the goal. I'm glad you got that.
I totally got it, and
you
I
got
love
that?
Them. I do.
Because that's the goal, that from the beginning, and we're a year right now into these Facebook posts, so there's tons of them, probably about 50 of them out there. And just, you know, I just told you where to go to find them, but they're there. Some of them are shorter. Some of them are about that, what she said, 16, 18 minutes. And just listen to the Word of God and let it get down on the inside of you. And the whole goal is to teach you practical Christian living, which is what God told me many, many years ago when I was very, very young, that I would end up teaching practical Christian living. And that's the way it has panned out. So cool. We have a prayer line, prayers@bohmglobal.com. Nan, why should they use it? It's an email thing. It's 24/7, 365, prayers@bohmglobal.com.
Because we see many answers to prayer.
Woo,
that come
yes,
that.
Don't
I
we?
Mean, we lot, small things and large things, all things He cares about. And many, many things we've had positive reaction, not reaction, that things work together for the good of the people that they were having the prayer request for.
Oh, absolutely. We just love doing those posts and love.